Love you.
Amen. Very honored, very thankful to be here right now. I'm very expectant, and I hope you are too in this final session for what God will say to us and what God will do in us today. But before we go to God's word, I need to pray one more time. So join with me in prayer right now. Father in heaven, we love you. Father, we proclaim right now, we declare, we open our mouths, we lift up our voices to say that we are here for you. Father, in this final session, we are asking, Lord, nothing less than your voice loud in our hearts, that you would move upon our hearts. Lord, we pray for those of us that need to be awakened, that we would be awakened. For those of us that need to be encouraged, that we would be encouraged. For those of us that need to be challenged, that we would be challenged. And I pray, Lord, that in all of it, the glory goes to one place as you renew, as you restore, as you revive. And that is what we're asking for again today in this session. May it be so, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. And if you agree, man, you can shout amen. 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 I want you to go ahead and take your Bibles and turn with me to John chapter 21. John chapter 21, I want to say again, I'm so thankful to be here, have this opportunity to be here. I'm thankful for my friend Robbie Simons, for the elders of this church, for this beautiful church that means so much to me, that have walked with us and our church through the deepest valleys and some beautiful times as well. And so I trust that you know how thankful I am and that we would all experience that gratitude together. John chapter 21. In our last session today, we're going to the last chapter of John's Gospel. John chapter 21 is a resurrection passage, and John chapter 21 is also a restoration passage. And so for any man who has faltered, for any man who has failed, for any man who has ever wondered, can God still use me? Does God still have a purpose for me? Does God still have room for me in his kingdom? We have an account here of how Jesus Christ, the risen Savior, loves to meet men right at their point of failure. We have an account here of how Jesus Christ loves to meet his men, not when we're at our best, not when we're at our peak, but precisely when we're at our moment of weakness with a powerful call to renewal. And so I want you to look at John 21. I'm going to read verses 1 to 14, and as we go through the text together, I'm going to expound all the way down to verse 19. John chapter 21, starting from verse 1, this is what it says. It says, after this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Notice verse 3. Simon Peter said to them, I am going fishing. And they said to him, we will go with you. They went out and got into the boat. Notice this. But that night they caught nothing. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, children, do you have any fish? They answered him, no. He said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved therefore said to Peter, it is the Lord. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards off. Verse 9, when they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire in place with fish laid out on it and bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish that you have just caught. So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. And so we have a remarkable passage of scripture in front of us containing a very clear call for God's men. A clear call, as we're going to see, to Peter and the six other disciples that were with him, and a clear call to all of us today. And so I'm going to get started with this. Jesus meets his men. He loves to meet his men with a call. Firstly, I want you to notice this, with a call to return. It's time to come back. Jesus loves to meet his men with a call to return. It's time to come back. I want you to notice verse 3 again. It says this, "Simon Peter said to them, 'I am going fishing.' They said to him, 'We will go with you.' They went out, got into the boat." Notice this again. "But that night, they caught nothing." Now, John chapter 21 opens with a very sobering scene, and it's centered on Peter mainly and his encounter with the risen Savior, Jesus Christ. And before we go any further, I want you to give you some of the context before we dive in. This is now, as we've read, Christ's third resurrection appearance. Jesus has made himself known, and everything he said would happen has happened. He was betrayed, he was arrested, he was falsely accused, he was crucified, and now he's risen from the dead. This is amazing news, amen? Amen. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. But the gospel writer, John, he wants us to remember a few details that will give color and context to what's happening here. Because while Jesus Christ is always the center of everything that is happening, John intends to give us a glimpse into what Peter specifically is carrying into this moment. Because God cares about what we're carrying. And God cares so much about what we are going through. I want you to remember Peter. Peter, one of Christ's inner circle in the group of disciples, a man called to be, remember, a fisher of men. He was bold, he was impulsive, he was quick-tempered at times. Peter, you remember Peter. This is the same Peter who, when Jesus predicted his betrayal, said with absolute confidence, "Even if everyone falls away, I never will." And yet, when the moment came, Peter didn't just fail once. You remember, Peter denied Jesus Christ three times when it mattered the most. And now Jesus is back. Jesus is risen. Now Jesus is here. You need to understand that in John 21, Peter is in the midst of an inner crisis. Yes, everything Jesus said would happen has happened, but where does that leave me? Can he still use me? I mean, I faltered. I failed so miserably. I failed him. I didn't do what I said I would do. And so what does Peter do? Well, look again at verse 3. It says, "Simon Peter said to them, 'I am going fishing.'" Now, how many men in the room enjoy going fishing? Put up your hands. You like going fishing. You can picture a beautiful summer day. You want to get some relaxation on the water, quiet, peace, recreational, fun. That is not what's happening here. That's not what's going on in this passage. No, Peter is not organizing a relaxing evening on the water with his friends. No, in light of his recent blunders, Peter is saying here, essentially, "I don't know what's become of my purpose in Christ's kingdom. But does he even want to use me anymore after the ways that I failed him? This is Peter saying, when he says, I'm going fishing, this is Peter saying, I'm going to go back to what I know. I'm going to go back to my old life. I'm going to go back to what's familiar to me. In some ways, he's bailing on the mission that he was once ready to give his life for. If we're not careful, loved ones, failure has a way of redirecting our priorities. Failure has a way of causing our vision to go a little dull. And you know, man, there are far too many of us that have allowed failure and discouragement to derail our purpose, our God-given purpose, our God-given mission in Jesus Christ. I think in a room of this size, there are some men, there was once a call to the ministry. There was once maybe a call to the mission field. There was once a conviction maybe to shepherd your family. There was once a vibrant passion to represent Christ in the workplace, but somewhere along the line, something happened. And you walked away. Now, you didn't necessarily walk away from Jesus Christ. But if you're honest with yourself, something happened to that vision, that conviction, that passion, that calling. Something happened when you failed or when you felt you could not overcome that sense of failure. Failure has a way of doing that. On the screen for you, Zach Eswine captures it this way. He says, failure pokes the tender ribs of memory, makes us wince. Too many storms sinking, you'll never wash my feet, miscalculations of faith. Too many, though everyone else forsakes you, I never will, debacles of our pride. Too many, you'll never go to the cross, get behind me, Satan, moments to count. Too many, I don't know the man, betrayals and fears. And sometimes the fault isn't ours, but the bruise still swells. You need to understand in the context of this passage, this is what Peter is feeling in the moment. The bruise is swelling, and this is what perhaps many of us or some of us may be feeling today. And I want you to know that just as Jesus loved to meet Peter and the disciples on the shore in the midst of his failure, Jesus comes to meet you and I. Jesus comes to us while we are drifting, empty-handed, discouraged. And he meets us with a call to return. And today, perhaps in this final session, it's going to click for some of you. Jesus loves to meet his men with a call to return. And it's time to come back today. Jesus meets his men with a call to return. It's time to come back. Secondly, Jesus meets his men with a call to, jot this down, to remember it's time to wake up. Jesus meets his men with a call to remember it's time to wake up. I want you to notice verses 4-6 now. It says this, just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Maybe it was too far. Maybe they couldn't make out exactly who he was. Verse 5 says, Jesus said to them, children, do you have any fish? They answered him, no. He said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. Now there's something so powerful happening here in this passage. The risen, glorified Jesus meets Peter. not only in the midst of his failure, but in the midst of his fruitlessness, he's caught nothing, and in the midst of his forgetfulness. He's lost sight of his calling. He's lost sight of the mission that he was once ready to give his life for. And for Peter and the rest, this is a critical moment. Because going back to fishing wasn't just a career move, it was a return to independence. It was a return to the focus he once had before he met Jesus Christ. You see, this scene echoes their very first meeting with Jesus. When Jesus first called Peter and the others, I want you to see it on the screen in Luke chapter 5, verses 4 to 11. I'm going to read it. This is the moment Jesus called Peter and the rest. It says this, "And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, 'Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch.' And Simon answered, 'Master, we toiled all night and took nothing.'" Sounds familiar. "But at your word, I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." Watch this. "When they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him." In Luke chapter 5, Jesus performs this miracle, this miraculous catch of fish, and he performs the miracle not to make them a lot of money in their fishing business. He performs the miracle so that he could illustrate the nature of their mission and their purpose as followers of Christ. No more fish, now we catch men. Now here in John 21, we find Jesus replicating the miracle. And it's not by coincidence, but it's a reminder to Peter of his calling. It's to awaken Peter. It's to remind Peter. It's to get him to snap out of it. "Peter, remember your mission. Remember your purpose. Remember how you left everything to follow me." Notice verse 7 to 8 now. It says, "That disciple whom Jesus loved therefore said to Peter, 'It is the Lord.'" They remember. They're awakened. It could be no one else. "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and he threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from land, but about 100 yards off. Man, don't miss what's happening here. It's in this moment that Peter and the others are reminded. It's in this moment that Peter and the others are awakened. It's in this moment that Peter realizes who's standing on the shore, and he remembers what he is called to do. He remembers the power of Jesus Christ. He remembers the hope he found in Jesus Christ. He remembers the beauty of following Jesus Christ. He remembers all that Jesus meant to him, and he jumps out of the boat, and he goes after him. He remembers. But that's not the only thing he remembers. There's a lot going on here in Peter's heart and mind. Isn't it true that certain smells can take you back to certain memories? Till this day, the smell of freshly cut grass reminds me of an elementary school track meet where I was sitting on the grass getting ready to run the 100-meter sprint. I remember it. Or the smell of fire for me. It takes me back to when I was 13 years old at camp and all those memories and all those emotions, even if just for a brief moment, even for a second, they come back. Why don't you look at verse 9? "When they got out on land," notice this, "they saw a charcoal fire in place with fish laid on it and bread. Now, it's amazing. The words translated charcoal fire in the original, they appear only twice in the entire New Testament, here and in one other place. Can you guess where? In John chapter 18:18, the exact moment Peter denied Jesus Christ. So I want you to live in the text. I want you to feel the scene. I want you to smell the smells. There's a collision here. There's a cross-section of emotions here. Peter doesn't just remember how he once left everything to follow Jesus, but now he's confronted also with his sin and failure at the very same time. Jesus recreates the moment so that Peter remembers his calling. From now on, you will catch men. But he also remembers his shame. I don't know the man. It's right here at this charcoal fire that a fuller experience of the gospel is applied to Peter's heart. Not by minimizing his sin, but Jesus is meeting him in it with grace and a renewed call. And very often, brothers, these are the providential turning points in our lives. Faced with failure, faced with the reality of our sin, but also experiencing the power and the grace and the hope that is found in Jesus Christ all at the same time. You know, brothers, the issue is not whether you and I will have moments of failure. We heard that on Friday. The issue is whether or not you and I will live in a way that is awakened and alive to the reality of the power and the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ for forgiveness and a renewed vision every single day of who Jesus Christ is and his calling and his purpose upon our lives. And so Jesus loves to meet his men with a call to return. It's time to come back. He loves to meet his men with a call to remember. It's time to wake up. Remember your calling. Remember when you met Jesus. Remember when he so challenged you in that conference or in that church service or in that time you were studying the word or in that coffee shop with a friend and you said, my life will never be the same, and you made a commitment to follow him before you decided to leave it all behind because of your failure and do something else. You need to remember. It's time to wake up. There's one more thing I want to show you. Not only does Jesus meet his men with a call to return and a call to remember, but Jesus meets his men with a call to restoration. It's time to be sent out. It's time to be sent out. I'm going to walk through the remainder verses and make some comments here as we go along. I want you to notice verse 10 says this. Then Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish that you have just caught. So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. It's interesting to note the differences between the account of Peter's calling in Luke chapter 5 and the account of his restoration here in John chapter 21. In Luke 5, we see that at the miraculous catch of fish, the nets were breaking. And for some reason, John wants to make a note here to us that in this instance, the nets were not breaking. It's almost like Jesus is saying, your purpose of catching men, it's solidified. I'm restoring you. Your purpose of catching men, it's locked in. Your purpose of catching men, it's dependent on me and my work. Your purpose of catching men, it is not going to fail. And you jump down now to verse 15. Is when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." Now, a lot's been made of this passage of Scripture. A lot of commentators talk about whether or not Jesus is referring to the fish or the vocation or the successful catch when he says, "Do you love me more than these?" Or the variations of the Greek words used for love when Jesus asked Peter three times, "Do you love me?" And there's probably merit to all of that. But here's what I want us to zero in on. What is Jesus really getting at here? What's really going on here? In a few short moments, husbands, you're going to go back home and you're going to drive home. You're going to walk through the front door. And I want you to suppose that you walk through the front door and your wife meets you at the door and you give her a hug, of course, and she grabs you and she says, "Hey, do you love me?" And you'll probably say, "Of course I love you." And then you'll hang up your coat and you'll go to the kitchen and you'll maybe grab a drink. But suppose your wife follows you to the kitchen and she's standing there as you turn away from the refrigerator and she asks you again, "Hey, do you love me?" You're probably going to say, "Yeah, of course I love you. I miss you this weekend." You're going to open your drink. You're going to walk over to the couch. You're going to sit down and grab the remote control. You're going to turn on the TV. But what if she comes to you a third time and she sits on the couch beside you and she reaches for the remote? She turns off the TV and she puts down the remote and she puts her hand on your knee and she says, "Look at me. I really need to know that you love me." Well, at that point, you're probably going to figure out something's going on. If you haven't figured it out by that point, you'll know by that point there's something really serious happening. I think what John wants us to see is that there's something very serious happening here in this intimate moment between Jesus Christ and Peter. Look at verse 18 and 19. Verse 18 says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted, but when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go." Verse 19 says, "This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God." And after saying this, he said to him, "Follow me." Peter, there was a time you did whatever you wanted to do. There was a time you went wherever you wanted to go. There was a time you wanted to go fishing and make a career out of it. You could have done that. There was a time you could have done whatever you wanted to do, but now you belong to me. And you need not worry about your place in my kingdom, Peter. I'm going to use your life. I'm going to use your life beyond your wildest dreams. I am sending you out, but you have to follow me no matter the cost. What was the cost? Well, Jesus tells us in verse 19, according to early Christian tradition, Peter was crucified in Rome under Emperor Nero, and feeling unworthy to die in the same way Jesus did, this Peter was crucified upside down. The same coward that denied Jesus three times when it mattered most was restored to his calling, and he would go on to lead the revival of Acts chapter 2. This same coward would be the courageous Peter who stood up and proclaimed the gospel so that 3,000 people were saved that day. This would be the same Peter now who would demonstrate the very faith and courage that he previously did not have. The same Peter who would actually live out what was previously just lip service for him. Even if all fall away, I never will. He'll actually live this out. How? In this moment of restoration, Jesus pulls Peter close and he lavishes forgiveness upon him. He pours grace upon him. He reassures him of his place in the kingdom of God. And he says, Peter, if you love me, you will essentially, Peter, if you love me, you will obey what I command and I will help you and I will be with you. Take care of my church. Feed my lambs. Tend my sheep. It's not on you. It's on me. I will help you. You will have the courage. I will be the one to do it through you. How will Jesus know that Peter loves him? No, he will obey. Jesus said elsewhere, if you love me, you will obey what I command. And all of this that Peter will do must be driven and motivated by love. Peter, it's not your own capabilities anymore. It's not even your own passion. It's not that you can muster up the passion in you to do this. No, it's got to be compelled by something greater. Do you love me? That's how you're going to go to your death and be crucified upside down. That's how you're going to have the courage to stand for me and live for me. The motivation is going to be love for me. And man, the motivation for us to live out our calling. The motivation for us, it's not just try harder, do better. It's not just kind of white-knuckling it through. It's not just going back and trying to be better. No, it's Jesus saying to us, man, do you love me? If you love me, that'll be motivation enough to stand for me and I will help you and I will lead you and I will fill you and I will use you. Love, love for Christ. It's the motivation. You see, brothers, God loves to meet us in our moments of failure. And he doesn't leave us there. He meets us in our moments of failure to give us the faith and courage that we previously did not have. And today, loved ones, just as Jesus restored Peter, today could be a restoration moment for you. Restored to the purpose of Jesus Christ. Some of you, again, have left the ministry. And as the church in Canada is marked more by apostasy and dying churches, Christ reminds you, some of you, and restores you to your calling. There are entire faith groups that are taking these things way more seriously than Christians are. We have to wake up. There are faith groups that are mobilizing and organizing and infiltrating, and the church is just sitting back. Now, this can be a restoration of your calling, some of you. Come back, return. Remember what I've called you to be and be restored. I will send you out. I will use you. Some of you need to be restored to a ministry. Some of you have left your post as a leader of your home. And you know if this is for you. Some of you have left your post. And Christ reminds you and restores you to your calling as the shepherd of your home. Do you love Jesus? That'll be your motivation to serve and be restored to your post as the leader of your home. Some of you have abandoned the discipline of leading your own heart every single day to the word and prayer. Christ reminds you of that calling. He restores you to that calling. A cause worth living for and a cause worth dying for. I believe that renewal and restoration and revival will come to a land where there are men in the church, men of the church who will recognize again that the things the world is searching for is what we have. The world around us, a young generation coming up, they're looking for a cause to live for. They're looking for a purpose to die for. They're going and looking all kinds of places, and we have it. We have a reason to live, and we have a cause worth dying for. Today, loved ones, Christ will restore us to that calling. Because renewal and revival, it's not some mystical thing. I believe it'll come to a generation led by a generation of men in churches who will be restored, who will be renewed, who will be awakened, who will wholeheartedly return to the Lord, who will walk with him filled with faith, who will be men of prayer, who will be men who don't wallow in their failure, but men who run back to Jesus, who loves to meet them in their failure and find forgiveness again and be restored. So today, in this final session, after all that we've heard and all that we've experienced, my challenge to you is that you refuse to let Free Indeed 2026 be a mountaintop experience from which you've walked away. No, let this be now an experience that has fueled your faith and fueled your love for Jesus Christ and fueled your passion to serve him. And some of you, perhaps even today in this final session, you've received the invitation in the past few sessions, but you have failed to come forward. Some of you need to come and find Jesus waiting for you, ready to meet you in your failure. Some of you need to come to Jesus right now and say, Lord, I have failed. I need to be restored. I want to be renewed. Jesus, you have come for me, so I am coming to you. This is your moment. It's time to be sent out because there's too much at stake. Men, we need to be sent from this place, restored to our calling, restored to our purpose. And then and only then, I believe we'll see a renewal and a revival in the way that God chooses, but in a way that is real and authentic. May it be so. Amen? Amen. 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 Let me just ask you to stand to your feet. I'm going to ask the worship team to come, and then I'm going to pray and give you opportunity to respond as well. Brothers, there's too much at stake for us to ignore the Jesus that stands on the shore. And perhaps there are a few of us here who we remain in our failed state, and we've failed to move towards Jesus Christ as he stands willing to restore us and forgive us and to receive us. And so if you're here today and you want to express a heart to move towards Christ as he meets you today, then I'll just ask you to do one thing, a simple thing. Just put up your hand really high. Just put up your hand. I want to come back to you, Lord. You're meeting me here. I want to come back to you. Just put up your hand really high. And again, this is not emotionalism. It's not sensationalism. It's just, again, for you to be able to articulate and reflect and symbolize even the state of your own heart. If that's you, you refuse to walk away from Free Indeed 2026 as some high mountaintop experience that has not changed you. You want to be changed. You want to come back to him. Put your hand really high and keep it there. Maybe some of you want to put both hands up in the air and just surrender to God. And with your hands in the air, you can begin to articulate to Jesus Christ right now, Lord, I have failed you so many times. I feel so ashamed because of my sin. Some of you may want to say, I'm in a dark place. I've been so impacted already, but I haven't come all the way to you. You're standing waiting for me, Lord. I want to come to you right now. With your hands in the air, really high. Don't get tired. Hold it up. And you can pray in your heart, Lord Jesus, thank you for coming to meet me in my failure. In your sovereign initiative, you've moved towards me. Now I'm moving towards you. Lord, I need to be restored. Some of you with your hands in the air, you're saying, I need to be restored in my marriage. My marriage is a mess and it's because of me. Lord, forgive me. Some of you are saying, Lord, I need to be restored. My finances are a mess because of horrible decisions I've made. Lord, I need your help. I'm coming back to you. Lord, I've neglected my children. I've failed to lead them. Too many evenings I've been so self-consumed. Lord, I'm coming back to you. Help me. Help me. And Jesus stands on the shore ready to meet you. Yes. Maybe in your heart right now, whatever it is, you can articulate it to Jesus Christ. Say, Lord, I do love you. Let my love for you compel me into my calling and my purpose. And so, Lord, I pray for these men with their hands in the air. So many hands in the air, and I pray they don't represent emotionalism or sensationalism or any sense of a moment manipulated in any way. Lord, I pray there's an authentic faith expressed in every hand raised in Jesus' name. We pray, Lord, as we return to our churches and our families, we ask that you do a work of revival and renewal. Let it start with us, Lord. Let it start with your men. Thank you, Jesus, that you love to meet your men in our failure. You love to meet us. You come to us with resurrection hope. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you. Give us strength now to live out a real love for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.